Our next scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. This takes place right after Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." In the garden. In Jerusalem itself, there were no gardens of any size, for a city set on top of a hill has no room for open spaces. Every inch is a value for building. So then it turns out that many wealthy citizens had their private gardens on the slopes of the Mount of Olives, which is outside the city gates just across the Kidron Valley overlooking Jerusalem. The Garden of Gethsemane lies at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Having been there myself, it is a beautiful sight. The word itself, Gethsemane, means an olive vat or an olive press, hence a fitting name for the garden Jesus entered, a place of pressure. Actually, this was a spot favored by Jesus, a place where he often went for his retreats and time of prayer. If I can paint a picture for you, the garden would have been filled with big, huge, burly trunk trees with their green leaves. It would have been an ideal place for Jesus to go after they left the upper room. For at night, it would have been dark, and a person can be well hid there among the shadows of the trees. It would also have been a place that would have provided Jesus with privacy. Jesus took the three who had been with him on the Mount of Transfiguration into the garden with him while the other disciples stayed at the entrance. After going in a little ways, he had them wait while he went in and knelt down among the trees. He began to pray, or shall we say he wrestled in prayer. Here we see the agony of Jesus. This was the most sorrowful hour of his passion. Death lay ahead, and he does not face it with serenity. "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me," Jesus pleaded. Jesus' will was that the cup be removed. If only God's purpose could be fulfilled another way, other than the death that he was about to face. It was a supreme struggle to submit his will at that point to the will of God. This reminds us that Jesus was a genuine human being with genuine feelings. And therefore, he knows all about the inner struggles that you and I face in our lives each and every day. What is it that you are in agony over? Perhaps you agonize over the illness of a loved one, or the divorce of one of your children and the effect it will have on their children. Or that a path that a child has taken, and you're worried about where this path will lead. Perhaps you agonize over your own health and wonder what the future will hold. What is it about which you are concerned? God, your Father, wants you to bring it to him, just as Jesus did in the garden. At this point in the garden, Jesus' faith was tested to its outermost limits. Jesus wrestled and finally came to the point where he submitted his will and entrusted his Father with his future. Father, not what I want, but what you want. Thy will be done. Quoting here from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," is a reminder to us that praying as Jesus taught us can be costly when a serious decision is being contemplated. Jesus knew his Father as Abba, Daddy. He said this about him: "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We, therefore, can and must put our trust in the one who knows the big picture, the one who knows the shadows of life that seem so dreadful and fearful, but are there to bring out the glory and beauty of life. Have you ever watched an artist paint a landscape? He will brush the sky and then paint the ground, putting in the trees and the grass and the other subjects. He will paint them in all their detail. Every line, every object stands out. And then you marvel at the careful detail of it. And you feel that here is a master of nature. You believe that this picture is complete and ready for framing. But just when you think it is perfect, the artist begins to put in the shadows. With wide brush strokes, he covers the carefully painted detail with dark, drab shadows. The beautiful details which he labored so hard to perfect seem to be covered with ugly, dark shadows. And you cry out, "You've ruined the picture with all those dark shadows." And with a saddened heart, you walk away. But from a distance, you look back in utter amazement. The shadows which you thought had spoiled the painting have brought out its beauty. The painting has now become a masterpiece. The shadows have made the picture beautiful. At close range, the shadows seem to spoil it all. But viewed from a distance, a better perspective and appreciation are possible. Life is like that. The dark shadows, which we fear and dread, are really the touch of the artist that makes of our lives masterpieces of beauty worthy to be hung in the gallery of the eternal forever. Jesus trusted his Father, yet here in the garden he experienced loneliness. He took with him his three closest disciples, but when he left them to keep watch as he went to pray, they soon fell asleep, evidently from the deep exhaustion that they must have been feeling. Jesus had to fight his battle all alone. As the song says, Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. I believe this is true of every person. There are certain things that we must face and certain decisions that we must make in the awful loneliness of our souls. Should I withdraw life support? Should I start chemo? Should I go through with the divorce? Should I show tough love with my child? Should I have this surgery? Should I forgive someone who has wronged me? And then there is the aloneness of death itself. Whatever it is, we can learn from Jesus to stand the test by praying frequently and earnestly that our wills will be aligned with our Father's will. As Jesus trusted his Father, we too can trust the one who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And with the psalmist, we can say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what a person shall do unto me. It has been said, perfect obedience would be perfect happiness if only we had perfect confidence in the power we were obeying. Let me say that again. Perfect obedience would be perfect happiness if only we had perfect confidence in the power we were obeying. Jesus had perfect confidence in God. And so we see the perfect obedience and the courage of Jesus when he says to his disciples, rise, let us be going. He who betrays me is near. The time for prayer and the time for the garden were now past. Now was the time for action. He rose from his knees to go out to face life at its grimmest and people at their worst. He knew, however, that when one kneels before God, one is empowered to stand erect before others and one's circumstances. My friends, tomorrow in our Good Friday service, we will remember how Jesus was obedient even unto death. He chose his Father's will to suffer and die on that dreadful cross, taking upon himself the sins of all humankind, yours and mine. What wondrous love is this? Amen.